You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening. You can be a big part of this fine production. 855-752-4842. Got Jess P.S. working hard on the board. And our esteemed guest of the hour, Angela Lang, Executive Director from the Black Leaders Organizing for Communities Block. Angela, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure. The reason that Angela is appearing today, a column you wrote here recently at the Recombobulation Area, Cherry-Pick Cases, Irrelevant Narratives in the Recent History of Wisconsin Supreme Court Races. And then the subheadline, whether through misleading arguments, frustrating questions on electability, or problematic tough on crime ads, campaigns for state Supreme Court have gone in a troubling direction. Oh, indeed they have. And seemingly, Angela, since I've been paying attention, it's all gone downhill a little bit. Let's start, what was your motivation for this piece? Obviously, we have an election coming up here, April 1st. What are you trying to accomplish by pointing out that things have kind of gone sideways on these elections?
You know, it's something, quite frankly, I've had in my head for years. If anyone has worked on any Supreme Court race since Block has existed in 2018, they have heard these rants. and people would have agreed and are like, yes. And then we say that there's a commitment to change. And I'm speaking on more of the left side, you know, because they also engage in tough on crime ads and some of these things. And, you know, we get down to the wire. And I think that there is just a strong sense of urgency that people are just kind of falling into old bad habits. So I think there is an appetite and, you know, just talking to folks and seeing how fatigued the electorate is. Also, from a sustainability standpoint, if we keep talking about Supreme Court races as if they're going to solve the break-ins down the street or any type of local crime, voters are smart. They're going to get wise to that and realize, hey, you kind of lied to me, or I don't see the impact that you all promised me. I'm not going to continue showing up. So I think right now, adding that frustration when there's already a frustrated electorate with what's going on nationally and even locally, I think it's kind of a bit of a warning sign, since we're going to be in Wisconsin in the thick of Supreme Court races for the next few years. Hopefully now we can understand that we have to try things differently, and we don't need to keep doing, quite frankly, what I think this dehumanizing nature and this campaigning actually really feels like.
You know, there is an industry around campaigning, you know, and people hire the consultants and they get the messaging and they do this. I kind of get the feeling sometimes, Angela, there's a lot of cut and paste. You know what I mean? Like, hey, it worked here. I'm going to try it. Because it's hard. It takes effort. You know, I mean, if you're involved, these things take a lot of time, a lot of energy. And ultimately, I'm sure we'll get to the topic of money in these elections. What do you think is driving those kinds of narratives? Because, for instance, on Wisconsin Supreme Court, they're not going to be the ones, you know, stopping, you know, the holdup at the gas station. That's not what the Wisconsin Supreme Court does. But I see Brad Schimmel walking like slow motion gangster style with a bunch of cops, like he's going to be on the beat. What do you think is driving that kind of narrative? Because I totally agree. It is certainly not helpful if you're thinking that electing this person or that person is going to have a direct impact on those very specific local issues.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, the consultant class, they get paid, right? And they can say, hey, this is proven to be effective at one point. And so they have kind of these talking points and these data points and these specific races that they can mention to say, look, the formula works, not taking into account the current political landscape and how organizing has evolved and how we reach voters and having to reach them differently. So I think there's just some of that. But I also think, and I've said this before, and Dan and I have talked about it, that Dems don't really have a strong message when it comes to combating crime. The instant Republicans try to have a hint or a whisper of you are soft on crime, which really is like you may have been a little bit more compassionate, or you may have seen of the full totality of a human being in their worst moments. Democrats tend to want to respond to soft on crime with tough on crime instead of actually providing alternatives to crime and safety. And, you know, we've seen in the data and even in the piece, linked to some data that says we don't have to do those things because also those messages are no longer resonating. So I think there's kind of just a familiarity of kind of how campaigns have been run and think that, oh, this is what we need to do. And there's always a strong sense of urgency of we need to do whatever we can because of the political climate that we're in right now. But that doesn't mean that we can't evolve and change our thinking to keep up with the times as well.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is Angela Lang, the executive director of BLOC, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, joining me here today talking about Wisconsin Supreme Court races. You mentioned some data points. I'm with you. I think, you know, a lot of there's lots of reasons for crime, right? And I think you look at the money issue and how people live and their experiences, that can be a driving factor. What they have, people have to deal with, and throw into that, you know, this the angst of the circumstances and God knows what else, and you know, not everyone is a long term lifelong criminal when something happens. And I think a lot of cases there's a lot of mental illness going on that is unaddressed in all sorts of communities that the Republicans don't talk about. What are some of the data? What are you seeing? What are you hearing that could be an effective pushback? Well, yes, you know, people need to be held to account for their actions, but as an empathetic society, knowing that there are many variables and factors that can go into a circumstance, how do you think the messaging should come across to address all those things, Angela?
Yeah, you know, and I agree. I don't think anyone wakes up one day and says, you know what? I think it's cool to just be Scarface today and just be this whole, you know, kingpin. Like, I don't think that's the case. People are pushed to very extreme circumstances. A lot of time, poverty and trauma are involved. And it's been really good to hear some judges talk about preventative programs or diversion programs. If we actually want to decrease mass incarceration or decrease our carceral system, that doesn't always mean locking people up on their worst days, especially if they may have a mental health crisis. And, you know, even if people are having a mental health crisis, there's been lots of conversations over the years of should law enforcement be the ones to actually respond to some of those things. And so, you know, anecdotally, and, you know, I have made no secret about this, I have folks on our team that have been through the criminal justice system, and people have said, yeah, I've made mistakes, and you get to know their story and they talk about why they had to make the decisions that they did, but then ultimately had the support and the resources and the network and the family to actually come back and, you know, give back to the community. So, yeah. You know, it's one of these things where we've talked about and we've seen that if you invest in people's basic, you know, rights, the hierarchy of needs, people are able to more participate in our democracy. They're able to, you know, they're being deterred from crime because a lot of times these crimes are made out of necessity. We've seen folks in the racial and sentencing disparities as well between, you know, a white man, middle-aged white man on his fourth DUI in the sentencing of that case versus a young Black man, a teenage boy who stole pizza because he was hungry. And, you know, we see this disparity in all of that as well, too. So I think, again, there needs to be an evolution in how we talk about crime and reframe it into community safety.
There's been an evolution on how we've conducted Wisconsin Supreme Court elections here as well. In your piece, you kind of go over some of the past elections, and Wallace Bradley, you bring up Joanne Kloppenburg, and of course, you know, one of the most impactful, I think, you know, Michael Gableman, not only a newsmaker of the past or the way he ran that campaign, but of course, we know doing the bidding of the Republicans and Robin Voss and their trying to find the quote unquote fraud and the stop the steal and all that BS that we're paying millions of dollars here as Wisconsin taxpayers. But this guy actually literally sat on Wisconsin Supreme Court. And now he doesn't want to show up for depositions, ironically enough. But he was successful in running some pretty racially, the Mandela Barnes ads when they darkened his skin to make him look like a dangerous, scary Black man. That's not the first time that the Republicans have gone down that road, Angela.
Right. It's unfortunate. And, you know, I actually had to, I shot Mandela a text. I said, hey, I'm writing this piece. is it okay if I include this? Because it's all connected.
It is. I think you're right. Yeah.
And I was like, I understand if you don't want to rehash that, right? Because that was not an easy time. And he was like, yeah, go ahead. And, you know, I think that there's something to be said about the Lewis Butler race as well. And trust me, I had to go down several rabbit holes kind of talking and researching these various races. And I was not one of those people at the time that was aware of the Lewis Butler campaign. I wasn't following at the time in real time because no one really cared about Supreme Court races, me as one of them. And I remember hearing a lot of stories about it and then understanding how all of these, not all, three Black men specifically, including Lewis Butler, have tried to make an attempt to be on our state's highest court. And it is not lost on me that the state is also home to the most incarcerated zip code, which typically includes Black men as well. And so it was important to highlight all of these things, but then also see the evolution of how the races have become more and more political, how they've become less about, you know, what is your judicial philosophy and more about cherry picking and a case that I'm sure every single judge has a case in their background that they are not proud of.
And they do, and they highlight it, and they talk about it. And we have some sound we're going to play a little bit later. Current Attorney General Josh Call reflecting on his experiences when he defeated Brad Schimmel and what he walked into. We'll get there as well. You mentioned, and I think perhaps we need to maybe understand what the goals are. And I'm not clear that there is a goal to decrease the incarceration. I think incarceration is a business like anybody else. And I, you know, we have what, double the incarceration of Minnesota. It's hard for me to believe that we have twice as many criminals here as Minnesota does, Angela. You know what I'm saying? I think this is, seems to be, if you look at the numbers and statistically, like a purposeful thing to keep the churn going, to keep the money flowing.
Yeah, I mean, we see that jails and prisons are a for-profit industry a lot of times. And we've also seen that it is cheap labor, unfortunately. Earlier, when we saw the California wildfires, a lot of volunteer firefighters, and it's not even volunteer, but what people were claiming were volunteers, were inmates from the jails and prisons that were getting paid only dollars and didn't have the same type of equipment. So, you know, I think there is not the urgency on the Democratic side to really change the future of this. And thus the messaging kind of continues to fall behind too.
Yeah, because if your goal is to decrease the level of incarceration, well, you're soft on crime. Like, no, man, if the goal is to make folks so they can, you know, go into society, be contributing members and productive members of our society and our communities, that's the goal, not paying off the prison industry. Come back with us. More of Angela Lang. You got some time with us, Angela?
Sure do.
Excellent. We'll talk about the money in the politics, and in this case, in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Come back with us. Angela Lang, Executive Director from BLOC, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, on the other side.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Got Just PS working hard on the board. Angela Lang, Executive Director from BLOC, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, joining me for one more segment. Angela, thank you for doing so. Before we get into the money, one of our texters chimed in, I guess to your point. When was Jim from Appleton Wonders, when was the last time the Supreme Court of Wisconsin dealt with a street-level criminal case?
Couldn't tell you.
Probably never, right? I mean,
at all. I was like, is there one real extenuating circumstance that leads to like a broader civil liberties, you know, discussion?
Right.
Maybe something in that category, but like interpersonal street crime, no.
Like, that's not what the Supreme Court judge. They're not bringing the gavel down, pointing at the defendant and saying, you're going to the chair. That's not what they do. That's not the thing.
We also don't have the death penalty, Dom.
Well, whatever. In my example, we do. But I think people are misinformed and misunderstand, I guess, to my point, Angela, to your piece that you wrote at Recombobulation, is that having those conversations and getting caught, I guess, in that trap, as you put it, with Republicans saying, hey, we're tough on crime. Well, that's not exactly what the Supreme Court is there to adjudicate.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that we noticed, and Block has been around since November of 2017, and our first race that we ever got involved in was Rebecca Dallet, Justice Dallet in 2018. And we noticed very quickly that this was not a traditional race where you can say, hey, you know, the candidates, let's have a persuasion conversation. People were like, Supreme Court, if I get a DUI, am I going in front of them? And we're like, no. And so people didn't understand why they should show up and why they should care if, like, the Supreme Court was so far removed from their daily lives. And so being able to talk about, hey, do you know that they're 10-year terms? Here are some Supreme Court cases that may have impacted you, including, you know, mask mandates or, you know, stay-at-home orders, even the pandemic election from April, that worked its way through. So being able to highlight how the Supreme Court has directly impacted them has been really important. And then being able to say, no, they don't deal with things like crime, despite what you're seeing on TV, and being able to have the conversation. They're only doing that to make their opponents look bad, but it's misleading. This is not actually what they do. These are the issues that we care about and what we want to see talked about, or, you know, advocated, not advocated necessarily, but being able to be ruled upon understanding both candidates' values. And so we can kind of shift the conversation to values and each of their records and whatnot, and who's donating to them.
Before we get to the money and the donations, Angela, certainly an important case that could come before the abortion rights here in the state of Wisconsin. Yes. And you know, Schimmel was very specific. What's wrong with the 1849 rule? You know, and we know where Susan Crawford, at least, you know, philosophically agrees. Now, this will be a court case and they'll decide what, you know, based on the merits of the legal system in the court. But what are you hearing besides abortion as to the what are you telling people, or what's the understanding, the discussion about besides abortion of issues that may come to impact these folks, you know, on a 10-year term?
Yeah, you know, people definitely are talking about things like voter rights. As Republicans continue to have the legislature, the governor has been really good at vetoing anything that makes it harder for Wisconsinites. But we know that Republicans love their voter suppression, especially of older folks and Black folks and brown folks and students and whatnot. So is that something that's going to creep back up again? We're seeing anti-LGBT, specifically anti-trans bills that often could go to the Supreme Court. So I think right now, because it's so recent and just even in the coming days, people are thinking about those things specifically. I think people are going to start to think about what's happening with campus protests and freedom of speech. Is that something that's going to end up going to the court? So, you know, we see these issues that are kind of bubbling up on a federal level. They could definitely have a direct impact in Wisconsin as well, too.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is Angela Lang, executive director from Block, joining me for just a couple more minutes. Let's talk about briefly the money, Angela. I mean, this Supreme Court race is going to be, you know, super, super expensive, more so than the last Supreme Court race, which I think broke all the records. You know, I think this money in the politics and in the elections like this are a cancer. I think if money is free speech, it is akin to yelling fire in a crowded theater. I think it drowns everybody out. It is what it is, and these are the circumstances we have to work on. But how do you think we should address this as a society as we move forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's so frustrating because it's literally those that are most privileged economically are able to have a louder voice and influence our representatives. And I also think, I mean, that's just like a broad problem across the board, no matter what candidate and what level of office. But it's particularly distasteful for judges. And, you know, there's whole rules that, you know, judges can't do call time as candidates and they have to pass their phone over to someone else. And like, well, what's the point? Like, why are we even doing that? Why do we have this rule of, you know, judges themselves can't ask for, you know, money? We like, let's cut the BS at this point. We know what's actually happening. It's becoming an increasingly problematic issue where one person that is very wealthy could actually drown out more and more people. And you have one person being able to outshine and lift up their issues if they want, because they are able to dump in as much money as they want in a completely different state in some cases, whether, you know, it's here or people investing from out of state. And I also think people are worried about that through line, specifically with Elon Musk to the Trump administration, too. If all of these things are happening on a federal level and they're saying, oh, make the states decide. Well, if that happens in Wisconsin, then the state could decide to just uphold, you know, Trump's agenda because he bought the Supreme Court through his buddy Elon Musk, which is a wholly undemocratic problem. And all Wisconsinites, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, should be upset at that.
Yeah, that talk about unelected bureaucrats. The guy's the richest person in the world, and he can take all the arrows, and it gives them some degree of cover, which I think we need to really focus on. It's not Elon Musk. It's not, he is doing the bidding of Donald Trump. He is doing the bidding of the Republicans, of Ron Johnson. We'll bring it down to local Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin. This is what they want. This is what they're asking for. This is what we got. And at the same time, they say they don't want unelected bureaucrats, you know, influencing the government. Angela Lang, executive director from Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. Any events coming up? We got an election on the first. Anything you want to share with our audience?
Yeah, I will say it's not public yet, but we will be having a special visitor in our office out of town and in state, and you will see who that person is when they come into town.
All right.
So we're excited to talk about it.
Well, please give us a heads up and we'll share it with our audience. Angela Lang, thank you so much for coming around. Appreciate what you do. Folks, this is the Dom Salve Show. Come back with us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We're going to play some of the Attorney General from Wisconsin. Josh Call had some comments. We'll be right back. Thank you, Angela. And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I want to thank our most recent guest, Angela Lang, executive director over at Block, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, for joining us. You can find her piece at the Recombobulation Area. Great piece. Appreciate it. Angela, always love to catch up with our friend, Miss Lang. 855-752-4842. We talked about Josh Call, the current attorney general from the great state of Wisconsin. Well, he got that job by beating Brad Schimmel.
Yes, indeed.
Uh-huh. And Josh Call has some thoughts. And I guess he was on here, we had him a couple months ago, right?
Yeah, I think we last had him on about five weeks ago.
All right. Go check it out.
It's been a couple of weeks since Wisconsin joined the lawsuit against Trump trying to get rid of birthright citizenship.
Ooh. Also, that particular case is not going well for the Trump administration.
No.
Today, an appeals court rejected the stay, so that still will continue. But Josh Call, and I found this, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin emailed us, sent me this. So I'm like, thank you, folks. This is what I'm talking about. Let Mr. Call speak for himself. We got a few cuts from the Attorney General, then we'll get to your calls and your texts, 855-752-4842. Let's hear what Call had to say. Cut number one, please, Jess.
In 2018, there was only one incumbent Attorney General in the country who was defeated. That was Brad Schimmel. And he was defeated in part because he had a failed record as Wisconsin Attorney General. Now he's trying to rewrite that history. And it's been several years, so folks haven't seen the headlines about Brad Schimmel's failed record recently like they had when the 2018 election happened. So I want to speak out and make sure that we're setting the record straight. The reality is that as Attorney General, Brad Schimmel had an abysmal record on issues that were critical to Wisconsinites. And yet he was essentially on speed dial for special interests.
Yeah. Yes. This is what I'm talking about. And it's, this is a while ago. So you can't forget.
Sure.
No, I mean, I read a lot of news and got a little resin on the brain. So I don't remember a whole lot sometimes. So I appreciate it when folks like guys like Call, who were in it, in the, I mean, it, this is fresh in his mind. No, he went through this. He defeated Schimmel. Let's hear what Call has to say about some of the, you know, issues that Schimmel had. Cut number two.
Now, one of the issues that has come up in this race and that came up in the 2018 election is the backlog of untested sexual assault kits. I think it's important for folks to know the context for this. In 2014, J.B. Van Hollen, when he was in his last year as Attorney General, his administration did a survey, and they identified thousands of previously untested sexual assault kits. Again, that was 2014. So the next year, Brad Schimmel came into office with this information that there were thousands of untested sexual assault kits. And what the record shows is that Brad Schimmel failed to respond with urgency. His administration tested just 9 of the thousands of backlog kits in his first 2 years in office.
9 of the backlog thousands in two years. 9. I mean, talk about a lack of urgency. What's the job, man? Not to be on speed dial for special interests. Certainly, you should be out there working to protect your constituency. You're the top cop of the state of Wisconsin. And you don't give a damn about thousands of untested sexual assault kits? I mean, who knows? Maybe be somebody you know, Brad. Here is Josh Call continuing on. Once again, the acting or lack of urgency. Cut number three.
It's not that he couldn't have tested those kits more quickly. In two other places, Portland and the state of Nevada, those locations received grant funding right around the same time as Wisconsin. And they tested kits much more quickly in those first few years. And I encourage those reporters who are on the line to go back to the news articles from that time. And you can see that Brad Schimmel simply was not focused on the details of this issue. In early 2017, for example, at one point, Schimmel said that a few hundred kits had been tested. But a couple days later, his administration had to acknowledge that the number was not a couple hundred, it was 9 kits that had been tested. Brad Schimmel said that this was not a backlog. PolitiFact reviewed that claim, and they rated that claim pants on fire. And they pointed to a letter from Brad Schimmel himself that had referred to this as a backlog.
Current Attorney General Josh Call reminding everybody how terrible Brad Schimmel was and his total lack of urgency and absolute disregard for victims of sexual assault. Pants on fire. Oh, yeah, you know, there's no backlog. Yeah. Oh, we did hundreds. Oh, 9. You know, that's the kind of person, that's the kind of character that we're dealing with. Josh Call, current attorney general from the state of Wisconsin, continuing on, I believe we're on cut number 4.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Brad Schimmel also didn't accomplish any legislative to prevent a future backlog of sexual assault kits. And it's not because he didn't have the opportunity. There was a Republican legislative majority and a Republican governor. But Brad Schimmel didn't propose reforms to our sexual assault kit laws until shortly before the 2018 election. So again, he left that work for us to do. Now, fortunately, I did advocate for changes in the law, and Governor Evers was ultimately able to sign those into law. But again, on this issue, Brad Schimmel didn't deliver for the people of Wisconsin.
Did not deliver for the people of Wisconsin. And I would point out, Josh Call mentioned in the earlier cuts, he specifically lied about the effort. Oh, we've tested hundreds. No, there was 9. Oh, there's no backlog. Pants on fire. What were you doing, man? A couple more from Attorney General Josh Call on his former political adversary, I guess. Let's hear cut number 5, please.
And it's not just sexual assault kits where this issue has arisen. Another great example is holding pharmaceutical companies accountable for their role in the opioid epidemic. Schimmel never filed suit against Purdue Pharma, the company that we've alleged was largely responsible for ushering in the opioid epidemic. Within several months of my taking office, we had filed suit. Brad Schimmel also didn't have Wisconsin join an investigation into opioid distributors. Again, within several months of my taking office, we joined that investigation. That has now been resolved, and there are hundreds of millions of dollars coming to Wisconsin because of the resolution with those opioid distributors.
Leaving money on the table, Brad Schimmel.
It makes one wonder What the hell was he doing?
I mean, come on, man. And that, you know, the opioid thing. And I lost a dear friend to the opioid epidemic. You know, I knew, went to college. We were roommates, we were friends for a long time. And he was always, you know, kind of partying on the edge. We hung out. Let's just put it that way. And I never took to the opioids as a recreational thing. I think they're great for what they did. If you're in pain under a doctor's orders, sure. But, you know, taking too many of something that can kill you, not great. And I didn't like the buzz, and I didn't do it recreationally. Well, some folks did. And he had a line on a guy that was writing some bad scripts and was able to go in and, you know, talk about the distributors of that and go. And, you know, man, it's hard for me to imagine that if you're in that kind of situation. And me being, you know, former, I wasn't always an upstanding citizen and radio host. You know, I broke a few laws in my youth.
You've had a couple careers.
It's hard for me to imagine that you don't know who's doing that. You know what I'm saying? When you got cats that are filling out scripts left and right, and you can know how many pills are going in and out of the facility. I mean, it's basic investigation work. Now, certainly they're doctoring the books and whatever the case. I mean, those things can happen as well. But to do nothing, to essentially do nothing, to just leave it, hundreds of millions of dollars. And that's not just money on the table. That is compensation to the state and to our citizens who were put upon by this terrible epidemic of opioids that were, you know, not sold as, hey, this thing is addictive and can kill you.
Right.
I mean, these things had a terrible impact on lots of people and continues to today. They revised the formula. I mean, back in the day when those things first came out, you could crush them up and snort them. Oh, yeah. And now they got time release and they changed it. And I was always like, man, this is insanity. I can't get legal weed, but I can invest and buy stock in my drug dealer. I mean, this is insanity. And of course, people are dying left and right. And you put it in that context, and knowing it again, in my mind, from a reformed, you know, bad guy, how do you not know? Of course you know if you looked. But he wasn't doing that. What was he doing? Let's hear cut number six, please.
He was delivering for special interests. he created a solicitor general's office with taxpayer money early on in his tenure,
and that Misha office Tetzlin. Got
the Wisconsin Department of Justice involved in a variety of highly partisan litigation. One of the cases that office got involved in was a suit that tried to take health care away from millions of Americans and eliminate protections for people with a pre-existing condition by trying to end the Affordable Care Act, a lawsuit that my administration ultimately withdrew from. Brad Schimmel also put out an opinion that barred the DNR from considering the cumulative impacts of high capacity wells, which was a great benefit to corporate farms that wanted to use water from those wells, but not to the other folks who wanted to use that water. My administration withdrew that opinion. It ultimately went to the state Supreme Court, and the state Supreme Court ruled against the position Schimmel had taken 4-2 with Justice Ziegler in the majority.
Taking in the cumulative effect of the well. I mean, come on. It's like, hey, I'm on the other side of the lake sucking the water out there. Doesn't matter what's happening. It's just an asinine proposition because everyone's tapping the same well, man. And so do Supreme Court elections matter? Yeah.
Yeah.
And even this one, as Carl mentioned, it was so stupid. It went against them. But this is a guy who wants to sit on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we should not allow that to happen. I get kind of worked up because, you know, I heard a little bit of this and you cut it up for me, Jess, and I certainly appreciate that. I get angry all over again because I just remember, you know, living through this at the time. Doing the show for a long time and having these conversations and listening and watching Brad Schimmel's lack of action on some of these issues and action on some of these. Like, how could you possibly say that you cannot, you know, in these regulations take into effect the cumulative effect of high capacity wells, man? How can you not? They're all connected. There's no like magic line that says, okay, well, at the property line, you go down the well, that's their way. It doesn't make any sense. It was asinine on its face. And what is the reason? Well, it was certainly, it was ruled against, so a bad decision on Schimmel's part, certainly. But what is the greater point? Well, he was down for the special interest, man.
Yeah.
That's who Brad Schimmel was serving when he was Attorney General from the state of Wisconsin. That's who Brad Schimmel prioritized when he was attorney general for the state of Wisconsin. Brad Schimmel declined to test thousands of sexual assault kits. Brad Schimmel lied, misled, didn't know. Thought maybe the office had caught maybe a couple of hundred and they were working on it. No. Nine. Brad Schimmel, putting forth this theory on high capacity wells and shouldn't be taken into cumulative effect of anything else. He was worried about those kinds of things. Brad Schimmel said, oh, we don't have a backlog of untested rape kits. PolitiFact called that pants on fire. And the very first Brad Schimmel ad that I saw this election cycle, Brad Schimmel bragged about testing rape kits.
Really?
Trying
bragged
to get in front
about
of them.
Them.
Thousands of rape kits tested. Yeah. Uh-huh. Maybe eventually, dude, after a couple of years, a slow start, some lying and some pants on fire PolitiFacting, maybe you got around to it after you got done kissing the ass of your special interests buddies. You know, an attorney general that would, literally work for the citizens of this state is something that we need. I think we have that in Josh Call, and I appreciate Josh Call putting this out there and reminding all of you, at least maybe if you didn't know, maybe we're paying attention back then. As we talked to our friend Angela Lang from Block, 10, 15 years ago, I wasn't paying attention to the details of these kinds of things, and certainly not Wisconsin Supreme Court races. So, listen, we've all been there. So now you know. If you didn't know, now you know. So get out and vote. And when you vote on April 1st, make sure it's for Susan Crawford. I think she'll be the one to really take care of this and be the person we want on that Wisconsin Supreme Court. Well, the good news is, tell us something good. We got one segment left. We wrap it up with a smile on our face. Tell us something good. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, final segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up on the lines right now, 855-752-4842. One condition, you got to tell us something good. You may have a news comment or something to say, but you got to start out by telling us something good. 855-752-4842. Let's get to it. Tom, you've been the most patient today. Welcome to the show. Tell us something good, buddy.
All right, Dom, something good. I wake up every morning at 4 o'clock a.m., and today my body was tired and it fell asleep for 2 hours, so that's something good.
All right. get that beauty sleep, buddy.
That's right. Now, the other thing is I really hope that very, very soon you have Greg Palast back on your show. I think it's essential for the upcoming election in April. And I also really have a lot of doubt in terms of ever since Joanne Kloppenburg lost that race. Was it Joanne that lost the race?
That's correct, yes.
6 points. Yeah, but a week before that, the Marquette poll had her up by six, and she ends up winning or losing by six. Then you have Scott Walker and his recall election, losing by six a week before the election, and then ends up winning by six. There's something that's not right here, and somebody really needs to. I don't know about the past. I'm not going to worry about the past, but going forward, we got to figure this stuff out. Is there something that just does not smell right? I know Cam talks about it a lot from Appleton, but we really need to do some type of audit or some type of whatever it is we need to do to save our democracy. And we just, as Democrats, can't say, oh, no, everything is fine. Everything is perfect. Fine.
Well, Tom, number one, glad you're getting sleep, man. I'm down. Certainly want to make sure our elections are righteous, man. No, everybody wants that. I mean, hell, Donald Trump preyed on those fears and manipulated folks into believing those things. So I don't want to fall into that trap. Is that the same thing I said to Cam and folks and Palace? I mean, if there's evidence, then bring it forth. And I'm not sure like a statistical analysis of something is going to convince me. I mean, I'm thinking like right here in the state of Wisconsin. Like I hear you just talking about the Kloppenburg case. I believe it was the Brookfield elections official that brought a flash drive home and didn't count those votes. And I think it was looked at and it was accepted as, yeah, that sucked, but that was reality. We've had several recounts here in the state of Wisconsin. They've all come back as righteous hell when Donald Trump wanted Madison and Milwaukee County to recount. He actually lost a couple of more votes. So, I'm down, man. We should always be vigilant, but I'm not going to go down that road until we hear, you know, someone present some evidence that is logical to me, at least at this point. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. 855-752-4842. But perhaps I'll reach out to Greg just for some fun between now and the election. Joel from Madison, you're up next. Tell us something good.
Well, we're cruising in towards St. Paddy's Day, and that means we get Irish soda bread, which is
yes!
Wonderful.
Oh, my God, it's so
we
good.
We do love that. Wonderful. I wanted to make a point in talking about annexation. Trump tosses this term around, and he's as well versed in what it means as that stupid press secretary is in terms of what tariffs are. I will repeat something that is from The Economist. Annexation is when one country forcibly asserts control and sovereignty over another country's territory. And territorial control is declared by the occupying power. This usually follows military occupation. When we talk about annexation, it is not like turn a key, hey, you're American. We are talking about invading a military occupation of our neighbor to the north. Let us think what that means. Obviously, Trump is incapable of thinking what that means, whether he's mentally ill or this is just who he is. But let's analyze what that means. If you look at a map and you think about taking U.S. troops into Canada, I realize we don't have the same population, but do you think that the rest of the world is going to just sit still while we invade Canada?
No, I don't think that's good. I think invading another NATO member is frowned upon, Joe.
Typically.
I don't think it's happening. I hear the bluster, but it's never going to happen. If that would have happened, there'd be guerrilla warfare in Canada for the next 100 years. That is not happening. We hear the premier over there talking, the Canadians, they don't want no part of that. So, wait and see. At this point, it's just the ramblings of a madman. But, well, Joe, keep your fingers crossed. Hopefully that's all it is. Ollie from the Northwoods, welcome. Tell us something good.
Well, my something good was your radio program today with Mr. Call informing us of Brad Schimmel's shiftiness. Made it easier to make stronger points with the people that I talk to how much that they should support Susan Crawford.
Yes. Thank you so much for that. We appreciate that. Thank you, Jess, for cutting that up. Catherine from Madison, you will have the last word. Tell us something good.
Hi, Dom. I've got something that I'm really happy about and I think is good. I work with a group that is doing composting, and we collect scraps from the local restaurants. They just started a little over a year ago, and we compost at Troy Gardens. It was actually Troy Farm. And last year, we kept records, and we composted 2 tons of vegetables.
Wow. That's awesome. Going to the compost. If you do it, folks, we compost. It takes a little effort, but it's good to do to keep it out of the landfills. Thank you, Angela Lang, Executive Director from Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. She will be co-hosting with Matt Rothschild tomorrow. I will be out. Just thank you for all that you do. Thank you to our fair audience. Have a wonderful evening. Stick around. Pete Schwab, The Nightlights, coming up next.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.